I heard Bashem Rav Meir Torsky that you learn more about yourself from dating than you do during Ne'ilah. And that is a very, very much, I think, a true statement. That of course, on Yom Kippur, when a person has to be so in touch with themselves and so real with who they are, when someone's dating, you learn so much about yourself. And in your Hashkafas HaChayim, and through what the person you want to marry and what you're looking for, you're able to actually learn more about who you are. And dating was a very important stage of my life. And there's certain people who, I know a number of people who married the first person they dated, while there are unfortunately other people who have been dating for decades. Nobody really wants to do it, but it is of course a necessary means for marriage and something that has to be done. And even though that's the case, it's something that nobody really wants to do, but there is very much a learning process throughout dating. And there are tremendous lessons that could be taken and gleaned from the dating experience. These lessons aren't, though, that we're gonna discuss. These lessons aren't just applicable to dating itself. They apply in many different areas and stages of life. For those who are married, who are listening to this, it's something that you could relate to your life as well. And for those, certainly, if you're still in the dating process, then hopefully they'll be directly beneficial to give you certain ideas and thoughts that can help you along the way. I first want to share a little bit about myself, so you know a little bit about my dating experience. Of course, through each of the lessons, I'm going to share personal thoughts, but just some background. I actually began dating at 20 years old, right after I got back from Shana Bet. And I dated for 10 years, hence the title. And at 30, I was engaged, and a few months later, when I was 31, which was a year and a half ago, I got married. One interesting idea is that you might be surprised I started dating at the age of 20, and it wasn't necessarily because I was dating someone like a high school sweetheart and just taking a break from Israel. I actually very much wanted to get married. I actually thought, of course, a lot of times we have plans and Kadosh Baruch Hu has different plans. I thought I'd get married right away. That, of course, did not happen. And there's a Rashi from Parshas Chayisara that actually attribute my desire to wanting to date at a pretty early age. Important background to my life is that my mother passed away when I was 9 years old. And Rashi, the Torah, I'll start with the Torah, in Perachav Dalet, Pasuk Samach Zayin, when Yitzchak meets Rivka, at that moment, so it says, Vayviyaha Yitzchak ha'ohel la'sara imo, Yitzchak brings Rivka into his mother's tent. Sarah, of course, had passed away. And Vayikachas Rivka vati lo lishav ve'ahaveha. He took Rivka to be his wife, and he loved her. Vayinachem Yitzchak achare imo. And Yitzchak was comforted after his mother is passing. So Rashi says, achare imo, derech eretz. It's the way of the world. This is human nature. As long as a person's mother is alive, that person is clung to her, clings to his mother. And from that point, or the point when the mother dies, so the person gets comfort, gets a nechama through his wife. And I don't know if it was conscious or subconscious, but I remember when I read that Rashi at the age of 19, I remember it really hitting me. And every single year, when I get to that pasuk and that Rashi, I think about that. And I don't know if it... I'm pretty sure it's certainly true for me. Like I said, I don't know if it's conscious or subconscious, but I very much had a desire to get married. And like I said, I thought it would be quick. And you'll hear a little bit of some stories here. I dated many, many people over the last 10 years. If each person I dated will listen to the shiur, it's certainly going to be going viral on YU Torah, just from those numbers. I certainly will not use any names. I don't plan on even saying any negative stories whatsoever. But even if you happen to know me and know one or two people I dated, it's not just a bitul barov, but this is mamish bitul b'shishim. So you really don't have to worry and could assume that you probably don't know the people I'm talking about. That's another cute story. A few years ago, I met Rabbi David Katz, who's the director of MMY, and I don't know what got into me to do this, but I decided to approach him, and I said to him, I told him I've dated many, many girls from different years of MMY. And I said that you should consider hiring me to be the director of alumni affairs at MMY. So he laughed. He thought it was a cute line. And I certainly have dated a lot of people, and I have had a lot of learning experiences through dating. And I think it's something worthwhile to share. To be able to learn about this. And each lesson that I'm going to say will have some of my thoughts and my experiences, as well as a Torah idea that complements the lesson. So lesson number one, the blessings in disguise. Now, it goes without saying, of course, that when you're dating, you want to be married and you want to get married. But at the same time, there are plenty of blessings that a person sees. For example, the first person I dated when I was 20, I was actually in a pretty serious relationship with them. And I remember, I knew already for about a year, when I was 19, I knew I wanted to go into chinuch. And I remember being so stressed out about finances and thinking how, if I'm going to get married before, like, just as I'm starting YU, I probably can't do chinuch. I probably can't do another few years of smicha in order to postpone making money and getting a job. I'll probably have to do something in business. And I remember that really weighing heavily upon me. And not just, of course, the bracha that is able to become a machanech and do smicha, but just one thing is there's tremendous financial pressure on someone who gets married young. And I remember, like, already after I started working, just thinking how there is a certain bracha. This is still while I was single, just thinking how there's a certain bracha to having a salary and to still being single, to not have to rely on parents or to think about how you're able to even make it if you get married so young. Another thing that happened for me is that I happened to be a musician. I recorded a few albums, which are on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and I remember it was always a big, big passion of mine. It was a real, real chiyus for me to play music. And I started writing Jewish songs seriously right after, during my Shana Bet, and certainly after Israel. And I'd always wanted to record music. And it was always came down to two issues, time and money. And finally, it was after the first year I started working full time, and it was winter break. And I decided to call up someone who does this, to call up a studio, and decided to shell out the money and to make the time to be able to record an album. I thought it was only going to be one album. It ended up recording three albums. And it was a real, real bracha that I know 100% I would not have done if I had been married. I would not have risked the money and the time for that, as important, I think, as it was for myself. Obviously, like I said, it goes without saying that when you're dating, you want to be married, but there are things that a person could reflect upon, certain brachas to being single and things that are worked out in your life that maybe would have been different had you been married. There's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Samach Amud Beis that tells a story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was going to a certain town, and he was asking for a place to sleep that night, and he was refused. Imagine, a great Rabbi Akiva, no one wants to host Rabbi Akiva, and he was refused, and he had to go off outside of the town, go off to the field and sleep outside. And he was traveling he had a candle with him, and he had a rooster, and he had a donkey. And already from when he had to start leaving the city, he said, you know, call the Avid Rahman al Tav. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best. And of course, he couldn't really see that. It doesn't seem like things are going his way when he was just refused any lodging. And that night, a gust of wind came and blew out the candle. And a cat came and ate the rooster. And a lion came and ate the donkey. And every single time he said, "Kol davar rachmana l'tav," you know, this is for the best. And here he is. He has nothing, sleeping outside. And what happened? It turned out that night, an enemy army of that town came and took every person prisoner. Every person was taken captive except Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva wasn't allowed in that town, and he was off outside in the field. And of course, when he found that information, he said, "Oh, kol davar rachmana l'tav. Everything Hashem does is for the best." And there are plenty of times where, hopefully in your life, like the story of Miguel's Esther, you could look back and say, you know what? Look how this was orchestrated and this happened. And as you're going through something, it's really hard to see. But there are certain brachos that happen that a person could look back on. Lesson number two. It is very difficult to be positive when you're still in something. While in dating, it is very, very hard to be optimistic. Certainly if someone's 21, 22, 23, probably 24, like, you're able to be optimistic and it'll come. But you get to a certain age or you date a certain amount of people and it just becomes frustrating and it's weighing you down. And you feel like you're in a never-ending tunnel, like this is never going to end. And there's different types of dating. All these have their different elements of frustration. There's sometimes being in a long relationship or being in a short relationship. There's certain people that will go out with 50 people and they'll go on two dates with each person and then finally they'll meet the right one. And that could be frustrating, of course. You can never able to materialize anything into something substantial. Being in a long relationship is, of course, heartbreaking. People who date a lot, just the day in and day out for just like constantly, almost every few weeks, certain guys are going out with a different person, and of course that could be very difficult, and you feel as if you dated the world and that there's no one left. And then of course there are people that, many women that don't have almost any people to date, and sometimes people just don't get any names. And that, of course, could be extremely, extremely lonely, extremely difficult for a person to not even to have people to date. And all those, like I said, all those have their challenges. And of course, many people, it works out and it takes a certain amount of time, but it's not easy and it's not simple and it's not something that a person, that is a guarantee. There are people. Every single person listening to this probably knows of someone who's older and not married. And I can't even imagine the difficulty that a person's going through. And the people who are the most optimistic, you're going to find someone soon, it's going to be great, those are the people who are married, who are telling you that. But you know better in a certain sense. Meaning, yeah, of course you hope that that's true, and there's a shame you'll get married. But you're like, I mean, I don't know. This hasn't been working out for me so far. And past a certain age, the line, Amir Sashem Bayu, becomes something that a person, of course, has positive intentions for, but people can't stand to hear. Because I knew that many people were frustrated by hearing the phrase Amir Sashem Bayu, I would just say something differently. And this is usually when I was single, when I would just see other people or who are around my age or being at a simcha, and I would say, I hope you find the right person soon. Whether it's something like that, it has a lot more meaning and something much more real. Like certain people who just say, like, Baruch Hashem, but like they're not really thinking of Baruch Hashem. Just think about the words. So it is a very, very tough thing. And for a person who's in it, it's very difficult for a person on the outside to really, really relate to it. It's like when a person has an illness, so the people that they're able to speak to the most and to connect to the most are other people with the same illness, going through the same thing. And someone else who doesn't have it, like, oh, you're going to be fine, things are going to be great, you're going to get out of it. It's nice to hear, but it's hard to connect, because you don't know what it's like to be in it. And it's a very, very difficult thing when you're in it. And there's a very profound Gemara in Brachos on Daf Hem Abiz. Gemara says as follows: Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba Chalash. Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba, he was sick. Ale Gabi Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him. Amar le chaviven alecha yisurin. Do you enjoy the suffering that you're going through? Amar le. So he said, Lo hein velo sarin. I don't want this pain. I don't even want the reward for this pain. Right? We know all pain that a person endures is a certain sense of kapara, a certain schar for them. He says, Rabbi Chiyo says, like, I don't want this. So Amar le hav le yadach. So Rabbi Yochanan says, give me your hand. So Yahav le yadach, give him his hand, v'ukme. And Rabbi Yochanan was able to heal him. So fast forward a certain amount of time, and Rabbi Yochanan chalash, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan became sick. So Alagabe Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina went to visit him. Amar le chaviv and alach yisurin. Rabbi Chanina says to Rabbi Yochanan, do you enjoy the pain you're enduring? So Amar le lo hein velo scharin. I don't enjoy the pain and I don't enjoy the reward. I don't even want the reward I'm going to get for this pain. I don't want it. Get rid of it for me. So Amar le hav le yadach. So Rabbi Chanina says, Rabbi Yochanan, give me your hand. Yahav le yada, you give him his hand, ve'ukme. And Rabbi Chanina healed Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara asks, am I? Like, lo kim Rabbi Chiyah l'nafshe. Rabbi Yochanan, in the first story, Rabbi Yochanan healed Rabbi Chiyah bar Abba. So when Rabbi Yochanan, the second story, when he himself became sick, why couldn't he just heal himself? So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara answers, says, Amre, ein chavish mater atzmo mi beis hasurim. A person can't free himself from prison. And I think it's this idea that when you're in something, it's a totally different experience than when you're out of it. When he was out, or Rabbi Yochanan was outside, when he was a person just seeing someone in pain, he was able to heal him. But when he was the person experiencing the pain, he couldn't do that for himself. It was totally different. Lesson number three is that I always preferred being dumped than having to end a relationship. As difficult as it was to be dumped, and it was not easy, and there were certain times where I was heartbroken, I always preferred that than having to end a relationship. And the reason is, because when it came to me being dumped, so I felt, you know what, even if it was hard, I felt, okay, this is the Ratan Hashem. And it was easier, much easier for me to move on and decide, no, this is min hashamayim, that this relationship was not meant to be. As much as I wanted it to be, it was min hashamayim that wasn't meant to be, and I have to move on. But if there was something that I ended, or I felt I should end, then that became much more difficult. So I felt, how do I know if I'm making the right decision? When I'm acted upon, so it's much easier to have bitachon. When I have to be the person making the decisions, the person who decides, no, I should end this relationship, maybe I was scared. Maybe I ended the right relationship. Maybe I should have continued. And that was a much more difficult thing. And the way that dating tesar bitachon, it's an important thing to think about the impacts of bitachon and how, of course, everything, we have to be boteach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything's going to work out. And of course, when we're acted upon, it's much easier for that for us to be able to feel that. And it doesn't mean also, I will admit, that there's certain times where I was broken up with, and I tried, and sometimes even did, end up going out with that person, either a few months or a few years later. It's important, of course, we'll see from a future lesson, to, of course, have someone to speak to figure out what a person should do and certain steps that a person should take. But that was just an interesting thought that I thought of. Lesson number four. Now, some of these lessons are obvious, some of them are not so obvious. And even though this is an obvious one, I think my own experience, I think, will shed some light as to why this is included. Lesson number four is that no one is perfect. Now, of course, there's one exception to the rule, which is my wife. Aside from my wife, no one is perfect. And for me, it became difficult when I would look at a shidduch resume and I would speak to a friend or the shachin or a reference, and this person seemed perfect. And it was almost like daunting for me to go out with this person. Like, how could I date this person? This person seems like the best human being on the face of the earth. And it was important to know, and important to realize that, of course, no one is perfect. Obviously, a lot of times in marriage, it's embracing those imperfections in the other person. But no one is perfect. And it's an important thing that a person has to know. And sometimes this is applicable in recognizing that a person shouldn't set the bar too high and there should be certain things. Of course, a person should have the things that they need. I need this person to have this. And then there are certain wants. And I want the person to have this. You know what? The person might not have that. They might not be up to that level of what you want. They might not be filling up every criteria that you have. But at the same time, it's important to realize that no one's perfect. And it's not about settling, chas v'shalom. It's not about that. but it's about recognizing that everyone has flaws. And a person doesn't have to look far within every single person themselves. Every single person, you know, we know our own flaws. We're able to daven, to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yodet Halumos, Hashem knows every single thing that we do, every single thing that we think about. And if we're able to have some Rachmanis on us, we could, of course, have some Rachmanis on other people. When it comes to the Torah lesson about this, so there's two different ideas I was thinking about. First is that there happens to be a machlokes on how to view the avos. Rav Aaron Cutler was of the opinion that the avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the imahos, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, were mamish perfect. And that any time the Torah made it seem as if they did something that was imperfect, we have to understand that it was perfect, and we have to almost reinterpret what the Torah says to show that it really is perfect. However, I believe Rav Aaron Cutler was in the minority on this. Now, this is not to say that the Avos were bad people, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. The Avos were amazing, amazing human beings, but they weren't perfect. And the Ramban certainly held that view. And the Torah tells us in Bereishis Parak Yabez Pasuk Yod, Vayhi Ra'av Ba'aretz, Vayerd Avram Mitzrayma, Lagur Sham Kichaved Harav Ba'aretz. Right after Avram was told Lech Lecha, after that Nisan of Lech Lecha, so he gets to Eretz Yisrael, right? You can imagine he makes this big trip, and all of a sudden you get there and there's a famine in the land. So Avram, what does he do? So he goes down to Mitzrayim, he goes south. Says the Ramban, and also, of course, as we know, so Avram was a little scared. Scared of what was going to happen to him because of Sarah. And so he hid Sarah. And then, of course, she ends up getting caught by the customs over there, but he hid her. So the Ramban says, Vida, ki Avram avinu chata chait gadol bishkaga. Avram sinned a great sin. Shehevi ishto hatadekes b'michshol avon m'pnei pachadu pen yaraguhu. By hiding Sarah Imenu, because he was scared that maybe he would be killed. He should have had some bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem was going to save him and save Sarah. Because you know what, says the Ramban, Hashem has the ability to save people. Gam, not only that, gam yetiyasom in aretz, going down to Mitzrayim, and leaving because there was a famine, since Tavu Ale Betchila, he was commanded originally to go to Eretzel, so Mipnei Rav, so he fled. Avon Asher Chata, that was a sin. Ki Alukim Barav Yifadenu Mimavas. You know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to save you from the famine. Hashem is able to supply you with food one way or another. And it showed a lack of bitachon in Avram that he went down to Mitzrayim. So those are the words in the Ramban. And so we see that even the Avos are able to be human. Even the Avos are able to make mistakes. Like I said, they are amazing, amazing human beings. And we aspire to be a fraction of what they were able to do and accomplish. But at the same time, they did make mistakes. And the Gemara in Shabbos on Taf Nun Hei Amid Aleph discusses and says that every person sins. And sin is what causes a person to die. So, since sin causes a person to die, we know everyone dies, so it must be that everyone sins. And the Gemara in Bava Basra, Andar, Daf Yud Zayin Amar Alf, says that, you know what? There are only four people who didn't sin. Binyam ben Yaakov, so Binyam the son of Yaakov, Amram, Avi Moshe, Amram the father of Moshe, Yishai Avi David, Yishai the father of David HaMelech, Vikilav ben David, and David's son Kilav. So there are only four people who didn't sin. So every single person, think of the greatest tzaddik or tzaddikas that you know of, and that person sinned. It's wild. It's wild to think about. There are certain people I think about Rav Schechter. When it comes to Yom Kippur every year, I think about how when I'm doing my alchit, my viduis, so I know I have to do a vidui. But I manage to think about, like, what did Rav Schechter do wrong? And I really can't imagine he did anything wrong. Maybe on a certain level, maybe he said, I don't know. I don't know. I can't imagine anything wrong. But the Gemara here tells us that their moms, there are only four people in the history of the world throughout all of time that have never sinned. It's important to realize that nobody's perfect, that everyone has their flaws. And the fifth lesson is that small gestures speak volumes about a person. Oftentimes we think about big things that a person does, that a person spent their summer volunteering to do chesed, and that is mamish an amazing thing, and not to take away an iota from doing that chesed. But in life, it's the smaller things, the constant small acts of chesed that really show a person's character. Oftentimes on dates, I try to be aware if a person, if the girl I was dating would say thank you, whether to myself for paying for the date, whether to a waiter or waitress if we were out at a restaurant, for a person to be understanding if something goes wrong. I remember early on, I went on a date. It was a Motzei Shabbos, and either I didn't know or didn't think about it, but it was Valentine's Day. And I was going for dessert to my most favorite, and we got there. I did not make a reservation, and we got there, and it was jam-packed. And I honestly, like thinking back to the story, I mamish don't remember the girl's reaction. But when thinking about these lessons, so the girl's reaction for something like that is important. And I think it does say volumes. And if a person says, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. Like, you didn't know. Like, I wouldn't have guessed this either way. Like, that would be an amazing thing. As opposed to if a person were to say, like, you didn't make a reservation? Like, don't you know it's Valentine's Day? Like, of course, they tell a lot about a person. And the day in and day out of life are all about the small gestures. Of course, it's important to do big things, and those do have their place. But especially in marriage, when there are dishes that have to be cleaned and laundry that has to be done, and the saying please and saying thank you and being understanding of one's spouse, those are the things that go a far, far greater distance and go a much longer way. Torah lesson, Torah idea to this is an idea from Rav Yerucham Levavitz that we know of Shifra and Pua in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. And so Shifra and Pua, many people know, these are Yocheved and Miriam. So why does the Torah give them the name Shifra? Shifra and Pua? So it has to do with the way they took care of the baby, the way they combed it, the way they cooed it. And so ask Rav Yerucham Levavitz, like, why give them a name for such a small act of chesed, for just calming down the baby, for cooing the baby? Why is that's going to be their namesake? So Rav Yerucham says as follows: great people take little things and make them great. Little people can take great things and make them little. I'll say it one more time. Great people take little things and make them great. And little people can take great things and make them little. And a great person is someone who looks at every small thing, every opportunity they could do something with, and to appreciate every instance and every opportunity that comes their way to do avodas Hashem through it. While you could take a little person, someone takes a great opportunity and makes it small. You could take an eila and you could be in the back talking about what's going on the Yankees. And you don't even realize it's mashna ilo. Like, take something seriously in your life, right? You can take these huge opportunities and you can say, it's okay, I'll daven tomorrow, or I'll daven on Shabbos. And it's an important thing. We're going to stop here. Bez Hashem, I'm going to post in about a week or so with some more lessons. But I hope this was helpful and insightful.